We're going to go ahead and stand. If we could stand for just a few minutes, I'd like to read our scripture text this evening. And the text actually is coming out of Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 2 is where we're at. And we're thinking about grace and light in Luke chapter 2. And in verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ." In verse 27, "And so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Christ Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel.'" Again, as we have been worshiping and praying, we ask your blessing on this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Very interesting. I think the record for the most blast off of a movie in history just happened. And obviously you're aware of the movie, The Force Awakening. Over the weekend, last weekend, I think it cost a couple $100 million to make, and before the weekend was over, they paid for that, and I think globally about over $500 million just on that first weekend. It's unbelievable, the records that it set. So in my calculating mind, I divided maybe $20 into that gross amount and figured about 25 million people decided they wanted to see The Force Awakening. Anyways, you with me here? I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God is working throughout this world, 7 billion people, and through the Holy Spirit of God, the force is awakening. In other words, the heart and the souls and the minds and the lives of men and women throughout the world, that God doesn't hold back at all. He's wanting to make himself known throughout the whole world, and he's doing that. And we're looking at two words tonight. The words are grace, and the word is light. For example, in this idea of grace, in 1 Peter 5:10, listen to this brief verse. It says, "May the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal power, keep you and complete you." May the God of all grace, he's the one that called you. He called you by grace to himself. He called you to himself, and he's going to keep you, and he's going to complete you. That's grace. By the way, someone was wondering what grace is all about. I love the worship songs you've selected, and I know some of the other ones because I was here ahead of time listening to them practice, and it's going to be a great blessing and a wonderful spiritual refreshing coming ahead. But as we look at this and to think about that last song where it said, "Less of me and more of him," someone once stated this. They said, "You know what the smallest package is in the world?" Of course, it's Christmas, playing off of that theme. They again said, "You know what the smallest package in the world is? The smallest package in the world is a person wrapped up in themselves. That's the smallest package. Less of me and more of him." The idea of grace has been explained this way. To understand grace, we have to understand sin. And sin, just in a simplest way, sin is when I put myself in place of God. I'm going to lead my life. I'm going to rule my life. I'm going to make decisions for my life. Sin, really, is putting myself in the place of God. Grace is God putting himself in place of me. The grace of God, he comes down here and he takes on the judgment I deserve. He takes on my place and fulfills the purposes and provides redemption for us. Again, as we're looking at these scriptures and focusing in on these scriptures, I mentioned grace defined by 1 Peter 5:10, the grace that called us, keeps us, and completes us. And the idea of the other word, light, would be one where Jesus speaks in John 8:12. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And in this top-rated movie, it's a struggle between light and darkness. And there's a thought of redemption in some sort of, you know, way that's all in there. And I believe within the hearts of everybody, there's a desire for light. There's a desire for illumination from the Lord and through the Holy Spirit of God and through the Word of God. When we look at our text today and as we recall what is going on, we're seeing this individual named Simeon and somebody that we don't really hear that much about. And yet he had a very unique place at a very important time. And it's when Mary and Joseph needed to go to the temple. And I was thinking about Mary and Joseph. And I thought of a little sentence for them. Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, when it's determined that they're going to have the Christ child and they're overwhelmed with this reality, especially the pregnancy by the Holy Spirit, perhaps they said something like this because it seems as though this sentence I'm going to say to you is something lived out in their life. Listen, we will do what God says, then we will see what God does. We will do what God says, and then we will see what God does. They had decisions to make, and then they needed to move to Bethlehem at a key time of pregnancy. I understand key times of pregnancy. My daughter, when she was at the hospital, can I say how fast? Once arriving, it was 24 minutes. That was all for Cardi right there. Oh, and for you, and for you. They're going to go at a key time of pregnancy to Bethlehem. We will do what God says, then we'll see what God does. There's no place to stay. There's no place to have this child. There's no room at the inn. We will do what God says, and then we will see what God does. And they were outside. What they saw was this heavens just opened wide and angels coming down. They would have never seen that in the Motel 6. They needed to be out where they were at. And God provided this. And he provided the visitation from these shepherds and realizing that the least of these, Jesus has come. And later on, as they moved from that location to a house, we saw on Sunday the entourage of the wise men and the gifts came, and they followed the star in the east. And for Joseph and Mary to move to that location, we will do what God says, then we'll see what God does. And God brought those people to him, and they worshiped him, and they identified who he was. It was time to go to the temple and to see Simeon. They didn't know they would see Simeon, but we will do what God says, and then we'll see what God does. And when they were in that temple, they got to see God affirming through Simeon that he is holding the Savior of the world in his hands. And I think for us today, as we leave here, we will do what God says, and then we will see what God does. God's asking us to follow him and to obey him, and then he will do miraculous things within our lives. When we see here this Simeon in the temple waiting for this, just to look carefully and quickly at a few of the verses, because in essence, there's a few things that happen. It speaks in verse 32 of the glory of your people. And so Simeon is talking about Israel, and he's speaking about the glory of the people Israel. This happened when Christ was born. Israel today plays a very significant place in the world and world history and the future for us as well. I listened to the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, today. Well, I saw it today, but he was extending a greeting to our nation, a Christmas greeting to our nation. Of course, he was also extending an invitation to visit Israel. But just to see that reality, that what we're looking at here at the birth of Christ, this is in play today. Israel is in place today. Jerusalem is in place today. The Temple Mount is in place. This is all in place today. And Simeon is speaking about the glory of Israel. And to ever have any despairing thought about Israel would not be a wise thing for any believer to do, because it's from Israel that we receive the word of God. It's from Israel we receive the law of God. It's from Israel we receive the covenants of God. It's from Israel that we receive the Messiah for the world, from Israel. And Simeon is making note of the glory of Israel right here, and we should continue to be thankful in the same way. Also, we see in verse 32 of the text we read, a light to bring a revelation to the Gentiles, or a light to bring to the nation. And when Jesus Christ came, and certainly located right there in Israel, but he says, I am the light of the world. And we love the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. The message of Christianity is a message for the world. And it's a message for the world because unlike any other world religion, grace is the game changer of our faith. Grace means that God accomplished everything we never could. Grace means we're able to receive that gift. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you are able to have somebody's name for Christmas and you receive that person's name and you realize that what we're going to do is buy a significant gift for this person. And you really worked hard and you saved some of your money and resources and you realize that I'm not having to buy a bunch of gifts. I'm just going to give one significant gift. And so a lot of time and money went into this gift. And even you take time to wrap it or have somebody wrap it and you have it under the tree and you're seeing them open other gifts, but you can't wait for them to open up your gift because you're even hoping that your gift is the best gift. That even after, well, not only the best gift of that person, but everyone's going to like, whoa, you did it. You got the best gift. And none of you here I know it applies to, but anyways, the best gift. And in the same way, God, in the person of Jesus, left heaven to be the best gift for you. He is the best gift. But what would it be like if after Christmas, there was one gift left under the tree? It's a gift that you bought to give to your friend. I mean, you wanted them to receive it. And they never opened it. And you said, there's one more gift. I said, I don't really want to open it at all. It'd make you quite sad. In the same way, the gift that God has given to us is Jesus. And why would we leave it unwrapped? Why would we not receive it? You see, Simeon himself, if you stay with me here, Simeon, when he's holding Christ, right? In the scripture, he's holding Christ. He's actually literally embracing the grace of God. He's literally embracing the grace of God right there. He's literally looking at the light of the world right here in his hands. And he's telling us this is going to be a light for the world, a light for the nation. But notice also in our text in verse 29, the Lord now is going to let you, your servant, depart in peace. And there's no peace. None of us can depart in peace. And we must embrace the grace. We must embrace Christ. We must receive his light. His light shining into our lives caused us to say to God, I'm sorry for my sins. See, his light began everything. In creation, he said, let there be light, because there was complete darkness all around. At Christmas, it was the light that was in the heavens identifying Jesus Christ as the Messiah. At the resurrection, great light shone around. When there's a new creation in our lives, it says that light has come into our lives and we've separated ourselves from darkness. And all eternity is about the light. There'll be no sun, no need for it, because Christ himself will illuminate the heavens. When we get down to it, there's the great gift exchange. And that's what tonight's about. Tonight's about the great gift exchange. Christ wants to give himself to you and to me as the best gift ever. His gift to us. In exchange, he's taken on our sin. He's taken it all on himself. He paid the price. He bought the gift for you. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's a gift from him to you. Jesus Christ came and he took the initiative to seek and to save those that were lost. I would say that as we're having this time of communion that's been prepared here for us, in just a minute we'll get some help and maybe a little additional help here, but we're going to have communion, and communion is a very important part of our Christian life. It's something that Christ put into place. The church never created this. Christ did. He has communion and baptism, and those are things, covenants, or ordinances that he wants to continue. So we'll have the bread and the juice, and they both represent something significant. Christ has placed meaning into the bread and into the juice. And so the bread is his body, the juice is his blood. And as Kelsey will come back up with Alyssa, and they'll lead us in some worship songs together. And as these emblems are passed out, we'd ask you to hold them, and we'll have communion together. Now, it gives us a chance to remember what great things God has done for us. So as we take communion, it would not be wise just to take the emblems, okay, I had communion, but it would be wise to say, Lord, search me and try me and see, Lord, if there's anything. I want to purify my heart. I want to really realize that as I'm taking communion, in a way to say, God, thank you for everything. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for giving me strength. Thank you for helping me, Lord, in this life. And so they're going to pass out the emblems. We ask you to hold them. If you are here tonight and you've been struggling in your Christian life, but you've given your life to the Lord, I'm so glad you're here because I struggle too. And I need times like this. I need communion. And it gives me a chance to say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. So we have communion not because we're perfect, but because he's perfect. If you've never asked Christ into your life, you certainly can do that during the worship song. But communion is for believers, and if that hasn't happened, you can just let the emblems pass by and just continue to enjoy the presence of worshiping Jesus with us. Amen.